our first item, is the subdivision 2023-01 Anchors Run Expansion.
Mr. Chairman, if I can assist, just to provide a recap on this, the commission may remember this from the public hearing that was held at the commission's meeting on September 11th. And at the conclusion of that public hearing, the commission left the record open to receive additional information from the applicant. And I have that on the screen. We received this in a letter dated October 22nd, which is included in your paperless packet. That there's a lot of material here, so just to provide just a quick overview. In the response, one of the commission's questions is whether lots had been sold or under contract in phase five of the development, and the applicant has confirmed that there are no lots under contract or sold in phase five. There was a second question asked by the commission. There was a series of questions, actually, but one of which related to who was notified and how many property owners within the development were contacted as part of the board's outreach for the proposed revisions to the amenities. And there is a response. If you look at page, and I'm going to see if this will jump. So if you look at the responses from the applicant, they had submitted a letter from the board, and the response confirms that by July 31st of this year, the board had received petition signatures in support of proposed revisions to the amenities from the owners representing 57 of 88 units in Anchors Run, or 64.74% of the non-declarant homes in Anchors Run. And they included copies of the petitions which they submitted in the exhibits. And they clarified that at that time there were 90 certificates of occupancy, and two of which within the developer's controls because they were model homes. So of those 90, they had made contact with 88 and received positive representations from 57. And that material is submitted and included in the commission's paperless packet. So.
Thank you for that additional information, Mr. Whitehouse. Maybe we can talk about this for just a hot minute. The record does show that, and there were people that testified that purchased their property before the vote was taken, but they weren't considered as part of the voting. So I was very curious to see about the phase five, if there were any lots there, because I think there needs to be some consideration about relocating the proposed area for the pickleball courts because of the testimony that we heard. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? I'm not prepared to make a motion tonight. I'm going to defer it, but is there any points of discussion anybody would like to add to that?
It does, if I recall correctly, several of the people who, you know, are neighbors to where the pickleball court is proposed to go were not part of the, you know, vote.
Correct.
In this
right.
case.
Yep.
And so the ones who are most impacted
yep.
have not given their consent.
Yeah, and it wasn't part of the original design, as we know, and so changes after the fact. Okay, if there's no more discussion on that, I'd like to make a motion to defer for further consideration.
Second the motion.
We moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2023-01 Anchors Run Expansion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is subdivision 2023-05 Lock Haven Subdivision.
Mr. Chairman, if I can assist with this, the Commission may remember this subdivision application from the Commission's meeting on October 9th of this year. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the Commission left the record open to receive additional technical information from staff, specifically relating to the wetlands. And I have a printed paper copy of what I'm showing on the screen. And to confirm, staff met with the Mr. Medlars, who is the county engineer retired, and specifically to ask questions in relation to some of the overlaps. And if I zoom in particular, what we were looking at is the area where the non-tidal wetlands have been delineated, and this is the yellow area with the flags. And you can see on the drawing that there are flags showing that the applicant has delineated the non-tidal wetlands. And then the tidal wetlands are shown in blue, and the appropriate buffers under the county's resource ordinance are shown from those resources. The question that arose with staff, and I think the commission were interested in getting a response on this, is what happens when there's a gap between those two, or more importantly, what happens when there's an overlap? And you can see that the two resources meander and they overlap and they separate from one another. And the reason for this is that the yellow band, which is the non-tidal wetlands, was delineated by the applicant's engineers. and that's confirmed on the drawing. But the applicant's engineers have relied quite rightly on the tidal wetlands, which is supplied from the state of Delaware. This was not delineated by the applicant, and the applicant's engineers are actually required to use the state's data. But that state data may or may not be up to date. And what happened is if you zoom in and look, that in theory, where you have non-tidal wetlands and you have tidal wetlands, there should not be, unless you have unusual topography forcing the issue, you should not have overlap or gaps between the two. And that's what we have here on this site. And it suggests to staff that the tidal wetlands data is not up to date, and that's evidenced by the non-tidal wetlands. Now, it is within the Commission's ability that as part of any final subdivision plan, the Commission can require the applicant to go through a revision process with the state of Delaware and have those tidal wetlands properly delineated and shown on the final plan, and require the applicant and their engineers to go through the revision process with the state. The consequence of that would mean that these wetland buffers may move slightly to be reflected with up-to-date wetland information, and it may mean that some of those lot lines need to be adjusted slightly. But it's certainly something that we can deal with between preliminary and final, should the Commission wish to approve the development.
So just to back up the reason, and to add to what Mr. Whitehouse said, we met with Mr. Medlaws because he was the one that was so instrumental in putting together the resource buffer ordinance and the code amendment. And as we said, I think at the time this one came through, it was one of the first more complex ones we'd seen. To Mr. Whitehouse's point, the wetlands lines are, they may not be up to date, but that's not the applicant or their engineer's issue. That's because he's pulling, like you're supposed to do by statute, from the state maps. So when we met with the determination was that, and also we need to keep in mind that we need to treat all of these the same, because this sort of thing may come up in the future. There may be minor deviations between what's on the ground and what's shown on the state maps. What's the best path forward? And it's, I think, staff's opinion in this regard that, you know, the way to capture that is what's happened here, but then make it a condition that they go through the map amendment process between now and final. So in other words, I don't want you to think that this is a showstopper issue. It's not. It's, you know, it's something more with the state maps than with this site or this engineer.
Because we haven't seen it more often.
Yeah. So I'm not prepared to make a motion on this today, so I'm going to defer it for further consideration. So, Mr. Chairman, regarding 2023-05 Lock Haven subdivision, I move that we defer action.
Second.
I guess we moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2023-05 Lock Haven subdivision. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is conditional use number 2454 H&K Group LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to pass my motion over to Mr. Robertson.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Butler. And Mr. Butler's motion is that he moves that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use number 2554 for H&K Group LLC for a borrow pit based on the record made at the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the application is for a 269.07-acre borrow pit operation within a 309.6-acre site. The excavated area will not exceed 195.83 acres, more or less. Two, a need exists in the area for dirt, sand, and gravel. The material removed from this site will be used throughout the county for a variety of residential, commercial uses and road construction. Three, the borrow pit is within a much larger wooded parcel owned by the applicant. The preserved woodlands should be leased by the applicant. The preserved woodlands will provide an extensive buffer between the borrow pit and the adjacent properties and roadways. It is not likely to be visible from nearby homes or roadways, and this is an appropriate location for this use. Four, based upon the information in the record, the area used for the borrow pit operations and processing will be at least 1,000 feet from Shiloh Church Road, and there will be approximately 1,700 feet between these operations and the nearest off-site home, not including an abandoned dwelling approximately 230 feet away. Five, the applicant will provide dust control to keep the area roadways free of dirt and dust from trucks leaving the site. Six, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on traffic or the neighboring properties. DLDOT has also stated that the use will have negligible impact on area roadways. Seven, the property contains approximately 17.19 acres of non-tidal wetlands. The proposed use will create a minimum 50-foot wide buffer from these wetlands and will obtain a permit from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for any crossing of these wetlands. Eight, a source of filled dirt material available to the entire county as a source of fill dirt available to the entire county. The project is essential and desirable for the general convenience, safety, and welfare of the current and future residents of the county. 9, the use is subject to the approvals from state agencies, including DelDOT and DENREC. And 10, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, no material shall be brought from off the site for processing, mixing, or similar purposes. B, the excavated area of the borrow pit shall not exceed 196 acres. C, water or water trucks shall be available to control dust from road traffic when conditions require. D, the only entrance to the pit shall be a paved road from Chilo Church Road. The entrance shall be fenced or gated to prevent access, but the gate shall be set back at least 50 feet from Chilo Church Road to allow trucks and equipment to pull completely off of Chilo Church Road when the gate is closed. E, any roadway and entrance improvements required by DelDOT shall be completed by the applicant. All entrances shall be secured when the borrow pit is not in operation. F, the hours of operation, including any dredging, shall be between the hours of 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. No Sunday hours shall be permitted. G, material shall be stored on any, shall not be stored on any access roads or within any buffer area. H, no fuel shall be stored on site. I, no jake brakes or compression release engine brakes shall be used within the site. J, no stumps, branches, debris, or similar items shall be buried or placed in the site of the borrow pit. K, the proposed borrow pit shall have a 3-to-1 side slope down to a 10-foot level bench that will be approximately near or 1 foot below the static water service. L, a final site plan including all pit slopes, excavation phasing. The reclamation plans shall be reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission prior to the commencement of operations. Reclamation plans shall indicate finished grading, seeding, and planning schedules designed to create a pleasing appearance and protect existing and future developments. M, the applicant shall comply with all state and county erosion and sedimentation control regulations, and the applicant shall comply with all the requirements set forth in Section 115-172B of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. O, the borrow pit shall be surrounded by a buffer strip, a minimum distance of 100 feet from any street lines, 200 feet from any dwelling of other ownership, and 50 feet from all other property lines of other ownership. The buffer area shall be a vegetated buffer of existing vegetation or native species vegetation, and there shall be no trespassing danger signs posted at 200-foot intervals around the perimeter of the property. P, the non-tidal wetlands on the site shall be delineated and then shall have a buffer that is at least 50 feet wide, except where permitted wetland crossings exist. Q, a violation of any of these conditions may result in the termination of this conditional use, and R, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
That's my motion, sir.
Can I just ask a question before you make your motion? Condition H, no fuel shall be stored on site. Is anyone in favor of allowing temporary fuel storage on site? There's certainly a lot of governing factors there.
I would say a fuel truck would be sufficient.
Or an alternative would be just to delete
for deliveries.
Condition H altogether, since they would have to comply with.
Yeah, the county and state would control the fuel tank on site with dike and everything else.
Okay.
Can we change that to comply with DENREC's regulations?
Yeah. How about fuel may be stored on, this is condition H, fuel may be stored on site subject to all state and federal regulations.
That's my motion, sir.
And one other question, just a housekeeping thing. In the very beginning, this is conditional use 2454, correct?
Yes, did I misstate that? I apologize.
I think maybe, or I misheard it, one or the other.
Yeah, all right. It's 2454.
I just want to make sure 2454.
Yeah, it's 2454. My apologies if I misstated that.
Okay. I second the motion.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use 2454 H&K Group LLC for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Collins?
No, I'm concerned about the traffic carrying capacity of Chilo Church Road. It's very narrow and seems like it would need improvements before we add additional heavy vehicle traffic.
Okay, Mr. Butler?
Yes, for reasons conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, and the chair also votes no, but in view of the multiple concerns that were expressed by the public at the public hearing. However, the motion carries 3-2, and I would remind anyone with an interest in the application that Our motion is a recommendation that we recommend to county council, and that given the fact that it is a 3-2 vote, I would suggest to you that county council certainly has wide latitude based on their findings at their public hearing. So, thank you very much. Our next item is conditional use number 2490, Mason Hayes.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 2490 for Mason Hayes for a 5-unit multifamily residential development based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. Number one, the purpose of the GR zone is to provide medium density residential use. The property is contained within the coastal area with close proximity to Route 1 and several similar developments that have been approved and built in recent years. Two, the property is in an area with a more urban character, including a variety of single multifamily homes, small and mid-sized businesses, commercial and office uses, and higher density residential development near Route 1 and close to this proposed development. This conditional use is consistent with other zoning and land uses in this area. Multifamily development is appropriate for this property. Three, the proposed use is consistent with the county's comprehensive land use plan. It is in the coastal area according to the plan, which is a growth area. The plan states that medium and higher densities can be appropriate where, like here, there are features such as central water and sewer nearby and nearby commercial uses and employment centers. The plan also states that a range of housing types should be permitted in the coastal area, including single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units. In this case, the purpose of this development is to provide 5 townhome-style residences, which is similar to developments in the area. The development is consistent with the goals set forth in Chapter 8 of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan regarding housing. 6, this project is located in an area where the use is consistent with the existing and planned infrastructure. 7, there are no wetlands located on the property. 8, DLDOT has stated that the proposed multifamily conditional use will have a minor impact upon local area roadways. 9, as part of the final site plan approval process, the stormwater management design will be reviewed and approved by Sussex Conservation District, ensuring that the drainage system will be adequately designed and constructed to protect adjoining developments. 10, the proposed multifamily conditional use meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance and that it promotes the orderly growth of the county in an appropriate location. 11, there's no evidence that this project will adversely affect the neighboring properties, area roadways, or community facilities. 12, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be no more than 5 units in the development. B, all entrances, intersections, roadways, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination. C, central sewer shall be provided to the development by Sussex County. The developer shall comply with all requirements and specifications of the Sussex County Engineering Department. D, the development shall be served by a central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. E, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these fixtures. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District. F, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Geographical Information Office. G, construction, site work, and delivery shall only occur on the site between the hours of 7 a.m. through 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and between 7 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Saturdays from September 15th until May 15th of each year. No Sunday hours are permitted. A 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming these hours in English and Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the site entrance during construction. H, a 10-foot wide forested buffer shall be installed along the eastern and southern sides of the development. This buffer area shall comply with the planning requirements for such a buffer as contained in section 99-5 of the Sussex County Code. I, balconies and outdoor patios shall be designed such that they do not overlook neighboring residences. J, the final site plan shall include a site plan for a landscape plan for the development showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape design, including the buffer areas. The landscape plan shall include the limits of disturbance within the site, and these limits of disturbance shall be clearly marked on the site itself. K, all lighting on the site shall not exceed 18 feet in height, and it shall be shielded and downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. L, the trash receptacle shall be standard residential rollout containers for each of the 5 units. They shall be stored in enclosed areas on the site. M, the final site plan shall include a grading plan for the site. No building permit shall be issued until an individual lot grading plan has been supplied to and approved by Sussex County. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued until a grading certificate is submitted to the Building Code Department, demonstrating general conformity with the individual site grading plan. And the developer and then the condominium association or similar type of unified control shall be responsible for the perpetual maintenance of the project's stormwater management facilities, erosion and sedimentation control facilities, roadways, and other common areas. O, the final site plan shall depict or note these conditions of approval, and it shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. That is my motion.
Just one point on this, and I don't think it needs to change the motion. It's just, you know, when you see something in writing versus how it's read and grammar and things, I just want to make it clear that Mr. Collins and I had talked about this one, that the seasonal limitation only applies to the Saturday hours, not in construction across the board. So I'm just so clear on that. I mean, that's the way it's stated, but I was reading this again, I thought, well, somebody could read that wrong. And again, that seasonal limitation in G is only for Saturdays.
So. I second the motion as revised.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2490 Mason Hayes for the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, the chair votes yes for the reasons and stipulations stated in the motion. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Next item is conditional use number 2526.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
Common ground.
Our esteemed counsel is going to read a motion into the record for me.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mears, and I'll read this on behalf of Mr. Mears. And his motion is that commission recommend approval of conditional use number 2526 for Common Ground Hospitality for a restaurant and farmer's market based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use will occur within a small portion of a 71.3-acre parcel that has had a farm market known as Johnson's Country Market located on it for decades. The remainder of the property will remain in agricultural use. This application simply seeks to add a restaurant to the longstanding use of the property. Two, the use is an extension of ongoing agricultural use of the property and the surrounding farmland. The use promotes the agricultural industry in Sussex County. Three, there's a mixture of commercial and residentially zoned properties in the vicinity of this site, including GR residential, HR1, high density residential, MR, medium density residential, LI, or L1 limited industrial, C1 general commercial, C2 medium commercial, C3 heavy commercial, and B1 neighborhood business. Surrounding uses include a Harris Teeter, Signatures Restaurant, and the Freeman Arts Pavilion near the intersection of Route 20 and Route 54, excuse me, as well as other commercial and business uses. Four, the site is located in the coastal area. According to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the plan states that this type of use is appropriate within the coastal area. Five, DelDOT has stated that the use will have a negligible impact on area roadways and traffic. Six, the site will have sufficient areas for parking. Seven, with the conditions and limitations placed on this conditional use, it will not adversely affect neighboring properties or area roadways. And eight, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to a restaurant and farmer's market located on 2.61 acres of the site, as shown on the site plan that was presented during the public hearing. The restaurant shall not have a drive-through capability or design, and expansion of the use may require an additional public hearing. B, the hours of operation shall be from 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. C, any security lighting shall only illuminate downward so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. D, all dumpsters or traps receptacles shall be screened from the view of neighboring properties and roadways. The location of these items shall be shown on the final site plan. E, the consumption of alcoholic beverages shall be permitted within the restaurant and its patios on the site, subject to the approval of the Delaware Office of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission. F, all parking areas shall be shown on the final site plan and clearly marked on the site itself. G, the final site plan shall be subject to the receipt of all applicable agency approvals, including but not limited to DelDOT, Sussex County Engineering, the Sussex Conservation District, and the State Fire Marshal. And H, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
I second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2526, Common Ground Hospitality, for the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler? Okay, and the chair votes yes for the reasons and stipulations stated in the motion. The motion carries 5-0. Our next item is conditional use number 2542, Lawton Investments, LLC.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, regarding conditional use 2542, Lawton Investments, LLC, based on the circumstances, including the development of this area of Savannah Road as a business and office corridor, and the fact the property is surrounded by the entrance to the high school and the high school itself, along with other offices next door, these hours of operation stipulations are no longer necessary here. Therefore, I move that we delete condition D entirely instead of imposing office hours on that conditional use.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded to delete condition D in its entirety from conditional use number 2542, Lawton Investments. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Mears?
Yes.
Mr. Collins?
Yes, and quick clarification, we're actually deleting that condition from conditional use 2264 as part of conditional use 2542, which is okay. A little confusing,
correct.
But yes.
Corrected. Okay, Mr. Butler?
Yes.
Okay, chair votes yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. The next item is conditional use number 2543, Tony Floyd and Charletta Speaks Floyd.
Mr. Robertson's going to read this motion too, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mears. Mr. Mears' motion is that the commission recommend a denial of conditional use number 2543 for Tony and Charlita Floyd for the business of storing and hauling dirt and gravel, along with the storage of work equipment and trucks, based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this is the second application for the same site with the same applicant based on the same sort of primary use. Conditional use number 2436 had a public hearing earlier this year with a recommendation for denial from the Planning and Zoning Commission based on 10 different reasons. Before the application was heard by County Council, the applicant withdrew the application to allow time to clean up the site and come forward with a more specific application for more limited uses on the site. Unfortunately, many of the concerns that existed at the first hearing remain in existence today, and for that reason, it is recommended that County Council deny this application. Two, the Planning and Zoning Commission remains highly supportive of small businesses that are appropriately located. This is a new business that will create noise, odor, and dust. It was recently started in an area near other residential properties without the proper permits. This is neither the appropriate location nor the appropriate circumstances to grant the requested conditional use. While the applicant stated that there are other conditional uses in the region, none are as intensive as this use, and they all are more appropriately located than this use. Three, the application is for a dirt storage and hauling business that uses heavy dump trucks and similar equipment on a 2.31-acre property that is in an area that includes undeveloped land and residential development, but no other nearly industrial businesses like this one. This is not an appropriate location for the applicant's intensive use with heavy equipment, large truck traffic, and the noise and other impacts of the use. Four, there was conflicting testimony about the roadway used for trucks and other vehicles associated with the proposed use, and the applicant has the burden of showing that it has adequate legal access to the site as part of its presentation. It is unclear what private road is being used, and photographic evidence and testimony is conflicting on this point. There is nothing in the record to show that the applicant has a legal right to use either roadway for heavy trucking activities. While the applicant may be able to clear this up during the hearing before County Council, this application should receive a recommendation for denial based upon this uncertainty about such an important aspect of the use. Five, there was substantial opposition to the application from a large group of neighboring property owners, with evidence showing and describing the current condition of the property even after it was cleaned up following the prior hearing. There was photographic evidence and testimony that the noise associated with the use and environmental impacts from the use are significant. The impact of the proposed use is significant both visually and audibly. This is based upon information presented about the activity currently occurring on the site and is not speculation. Despite what was shown in the applicant's exhibits, trees have also been clear-cut in the area between the proposed use and the neighboring properties, eliminating the natural screening that previously existed. Six, there is evidence in the record that the existing activity on the property and the proposed use in the materials, equipment, and vehicles associated with it adversely affects the neighboring and adjacent properties. Seven, the proposed conditional use does not promote the health, safety, and welfare of Sussex County and its residents. Eight, the proposed use in this location does not satisfy the purpose of a conditional use under the Sussex County Zoning Code because it is not well adjusted to its environment with full protection of the neighboring properties and because the proposed use is not desirable in this location for the general convenience and welfare of Sussex County residents and businesses. For all the these reasons, it's Mr. Mears' motion that the Commission recommend a denial of this conditional use. As the Commission stated previously, there is a need for the type of business performed by the applicant in Sussex County, but it must occur at an appropriate location. For this reason, county staff should again be directed to cooperate with the applicants if they find a different, more suitable location for the business. If another more suitable location is found by the applicants, then any necessary application should receive expedited scheduling.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
I second the motion.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to recommend denial of conditional use number 2543, Tony Floyd and Charlotta Speaks Floyd. And just, Commissioner, just remind you that a yes vote on the motion is a motion to deny the application. Okay, Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the denial, mostly because of the lack of legal, insufficient reporting of the access for the roadway to the property.
Mears?
I like to support business, but this is an occasion where we just can't. I vote yes to recommend denial as per the reasons in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Collins?
I vote yes for the denial, and I do hope that they find a different, more suitable purpose to use that property and a different property to operate this business in.
Mr. Butler?
Regretfully, yes.
Okay. And the chair votes yes for the reasons previously stated by the other commissioners. So the motion carries 5-0. All right, that completes our old business for the day. And according to our agenda, it's calling for a recess.